You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters. With 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're going to want to get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android. It's unbelievable. It's free. You can watch the network on there. It's got the TV side. You can listen to the network. It's got the radio side on the app. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. And they got in-game odds, stories, videos, highlights. Everything is on the Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Did you know we're streaming on X? Always, including right now. At SportsGrid-Live on X. Go check it out. What are you waiting for? And it's every day, 7 days a week, constant. It's just badass. You can get the Pharrell Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a Bench podcasts on Apple and iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts every day, Monday through Friday, both shows. Let's take a look at the lineup tonight on SportsGrid TV and SportsGrid Radio. First on the TV side, it's 6 Eastern. It's Front Office Sports today at 6:30 GTD with the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, today. And then after that at 8, it's the original OG, In-Game Live with Scott Wetzel and Dave Sharapan. At 10, it's Sports Rage with Morenci. On Sports Grid Radio at 8 to 10, it's The Institution, Carver and Lisi tonight. Get it all with Sports Grid TV and Sports Grid Radio. No need to go anywhere else and waste your time. All right, let's hear from Kenny Atkinson as we kick off the second hour here on C2C on a midweek Wednesday.
Yeah, let's start, Kenny, first of all, with the end of the Cavs season. Great regular season, once again, fall short in the postseason. What needs to change?
The mental part, that we got to get over that. You know, I just felt like, we got another jump to make with kind of our mental strength, but I love our togetherness, I love our leadership, I love our maturity, all that. So those would be the two areas. Like if you come right off the bat, I think we gotta get better.
Mental.
Fair enough.
It's all mental. Sometimes it's all mental up in the head, and that's kind of what it's been with the Cavs, honestly. The last couple of years, but they got worked in this series. I mean, I know they had injuries, but they got worked.
Can't have Strus show up and miss every single shot he takes. It was a John Starks performance.
That's not ideal when that happens either. You can't have that go on from one guy who makes a lot of shots for you. Now, here's Kenny talking about the Pacers and what kind of problem they're going to be for either the Knicks or the Celtics in the next round.
I mean, they beat the Knicks last year the same way. They wore them down. I think that did the Knicks get injured? I think there were a few.
Just
mad respect. It's like a college team. And I say that in a really good way. Like they press for 48 minutes and they run faster than anybody in the league. We have the data. I wish I had a graph, right? You got the league. We're kind of up there and probably 60, and they're up here. And I think, to their credit, I think they've recruited to that type of their style of play. They've surrounded, their best player with that.
Listen, I don't know how many times I can say this. They are so dangerous. They, like I said earlier, they got two for every job. They got, and both guys are as good as the other. Like, there's no drop off at all between their rotations. They just have a great way of playing basketball, and they just keep coming at you, and they just keep hitting shots. And then when they miss, how many times do you see them get a second chance put back and put it in? Like, they get rebounds, and they run, and they transition. They play defense. They get steals. They block shots. They give the other team limited chances. They grab all the rips off the glass. They do everything right, and they got a great coach. I mean, what more do you need to know? They're loaded. That's it. No one wants to believe that some team from Indianapolis can win the NBA championship. They just can't have it. They just don't. Like, the networks don't even want to see it. The television networks don't want them on there because they're, you know, they're, no one cares about the Pacers. No one ever has. I'm telling you, they are a massive problem. And this guy just said it all right there. He just said it. He's like, you don't want to play them. I mean, they just grind you down and beat you. And he said the same thing because the Cavs had three guys injured. It cost them the series. The Knicks had two guys injured last year, banged up in that series. They get their ass beat.
Yeah, you know, I remember the Knicks won the first two games of that series last year. They had a 2-0 lead.
And got on the Pacers, slaughtered.
And then got smoked in the next five, four out of the next five, including a game seven in MSG. As well. And then they did lose Ananobi and Brunson, I guess, in that series. They lost both of those guys at some point. But still, we're not there yet. Knicks still have to get one more win, Scotty. Maybe that will be tonight in Boston. Game five, Knicks and the Celtics. Of course, no Tatum for Boston. We know that now. But they are still 4.5-point favorites at home tonight to force a sixth game in New York. 207.5 is the total.
Oh, man. I just can't, as you know, I just cannot bet on the Boston Celtics. I won't do it. I will not watch a game and root for them to cover a bet. It's against my religion. And I've done it in every single game in this series, right? The same thing. Give me the Knicks. Give me the Knicks and the points. I'll see you tonight. Like, I'm not doing it. I hate them. I'll never bet on them. And, you know, it's like you and the Bills, you don't bet on the games. I don't bet on Boston because I hate them. I just won't bet on them. Now, I know everyone and their brother thinks they're going to win tonight. Everyone and their brother has this thing's going back to New York. And then, you know, I'd say 60% of the people think it's going back to Boston for seven. And that they're in this, completely in it. And then I feel like the Pacers. I feel like the Knicks can do this and finish them off. And they're going to finish them off either tonight or whatever it is, Friday night. They're going to finish them off one way or the other. You're going to see. And then they're going to get beat because they can't beat the Pacers either.
Yeah, I'm one of those, I guess, who thinks that I think Boston will get a win here tonight. I don't think that this is going to be as easy. So I think that you'll get another game Friday night at MSG. I'll lay it with the 4.5. And we'll see if we get a little inspired effort from Boston in this game. The second game will be...
You have to take advantage of this guy being out, okay?
I have to.
Now, if they're going to let this little dude go off for 30 points, Pritchard, they're going to lose. If they're going to let White and Brown go off for 30, they're going to lose. What they need to do is they need to handle their business, I think, with Brown and with White, and then go ahead and let little man do whatever he wants. And you know who hasn't done anything in this series? And they need to keep it that way because he's a gigantic P to begin with, is the Zinger. Now, I love the Zinger. But he don't want no part of Mitchell Robinson. He don't want no part of Ananobi. He don't want no part of the big bodega. I mean, this guy's so far away from the paint. I mean, he might as well be in Greenland. He don't want no part of people banging. He's a toothpick. So send him across the river and make him go get the sandwiches and beer and bring it back, because, you know, he don't want to bang with the big boys.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast. He's here on a Wednesday. That's right. A golf Wednesday on C2C, and a big one, supersized golf Wednesday, because it is a major week. The PGA Championship at Quail Hollow gets underway tomorrow morning. You know what that means. The Prime Minister, Cam Stewart, is back on Golf Wednesday, fresh off of a live hit with Ryan Crazy Like a Fox down at Myrtle Beach. So he's got himself a little bit of gas in the tank to get going at Quail Hollow here. Okay, hi, Cam. How are you?
Love you, Carver. You're my guy. I'll tell you something. Ryan Fox is one of the only people who plays golf that has never let me down. From you and the family in the church to me in a hospital or whatever. I love Ryan Fox. And when he chipped in, I'm like, okay, should I hedge? Guy chips in. I'm like, thank you. You just saved me even more money. I love Ryan Like a Fox, but Carver, this course this week, wet. The best is like, I had a first round leader bet. And, let's just save it for this. Our boy, the other Stewart, Keith Stewart, said, is he hitting it from the ladies' tees? We'll talk about it. You need length tonight. Like, honestly, you got to hit this ball because this course is soaked.
It's soaked, and it's long, and we know this even from – and what do you think of this, Cam? Because we got maybe like, you know, 4 minutes of extra time today.
Yeah.
Do you like that they play – because I've seen people bellyache about this week. Do you like that they are playing a major at a place that they play at every single year – with Quail Hollow? Do you like that they're playing a major here?
Carver, let's be honest. And me and you, I wish we were on the committee, because first of all, we'd have more fun and they need to listen to us. The PGA Championship has always been the worst major. It's no denying it. Like, let's put another, like a big tournament and put it in there. But it is what it is. Quail Hollow is a beautiful track. But the thing I have, I just got a problem with it. It's like, I don't want to hear belly aching, whatever. It's another tournament. It doesn't feel like, when I look at golf, Carver, and you're smart. Like, I look at Masters, the European Championships, the Ryder Cup, all the other stuff. To me, this is like a regular tournament, but they call it a major. I think it needs to be better.
Yeah, I think that it needs to be a little bit better, too. As far as the top of the board here goes, you know who's going to be there. It's Scheffler, who's coming off. He did not play last week, so the last time we saw him, he destroyed everybody at the Byron Nelson. Rory, as we know, is excellent at Quail Hollow, and he's already won the Masters, the Players, et cetera, this year. You've got Bryson. You've got Rahm. Xander Schauffele, which I think, and I'll say this because he's on my card, disrespectful, the defending champ. I know how he's played this year, but for him to be down to 22-1 is kind of ridiculous. JT, Ludwig Aubert, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get right into it, Cam, and I will start with my outrights. I know the entire world is on this guy this week. I completely understand it. Now, I think that I'm glad I got 10 late Sunday night, because now I see like 7. We have a rule around here, Cam. We usually don't like playing anyone under 10. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd take Bryson now at 7, but I got him at 10. So he's on my card. I have Bryson DeChambeau. This is a perfect course setup for him. Everyone's going to be on him. This would be a huge public win if it ever happens on Sunday at Quail. Justin Thomas has been playing excellent. Where did he win the PGA champ, one of his two PGA championships, Cam? Right here at Quail Hollow, 22-1. For JT. Next, I said disrespectful. He's the defending PGA champ. Xander Schauffele at 22-1, and he's played well at Quail in the past. Nobody's talking about Hideki Matsuyama.
Great
this week,
call,
Cam.
Carver. What a call.
I never like betting this guy because he always lets you down. He grabs his back on Friday afternoon. You know what? 50-1 for a guy who you know always lurks around, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there on Sunday at 3:45 and you go, Hideki's in the third to last pair, and he's four shots back. Like, what? You just know he's always lurking. So I'm going to go with Matsuyama. Jordan Spieth looking for history, just like Rory did a month ago. 60-1, and his game is finally there. And you know I love Patrick Reed. I love what he did for me at the Masters. He's got good history at Quail Hollow when he was on the PGA Tour. 90-1 for Patrick Reed, who's playing good golf right now. That'll be my long bomb.
I love you, Carver. You know, the thing about Matsuyama is people need to realize when they had a rain delay at the Masters and he was down, he went birdie, 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 birdie and won the Masters because he's one of the best ball strikers. So I might have to add him to my card. But guys, I'm telling you, me and Carver are reading each other's mail this week. You have to hit the ball off the tee. I got DeChambeau. Mayo told me 16. I'm like, that sounds made up. I got 12 on a boost. Justin Thomas, we're reading each other's mail. 22-1. This guy is trending in the right direction. Here's the deal, Carver. You're going to give me Hatton at 45-1. Have you watched this guy on the Live Tour?
T5.
Just like your Matsuyama bet. Hovland, total disrespect. He's hot and cold. I'm getting 60-1. I'll bet on it. And I got mocked all week for this Homa pick. And I'm going to tell you something. This guy is figuring it out. I'm not going to say he's going to win. I prefer him top 20, 30, 40. You want to give me Max Homa at her 25-1? Like, are these people insane, Carver? $20 gets me like 2,600. I'm in.
Look, here it is. I'll just go to my placements, Cam. Look who's on the bottom of my placement board.
Love
top
you.
20, Max Homa, plus 450. Like, he loves his track. I've been chasing him a little bit this year. I think we're finally starting to see some good signs. So Homa's on my card. Rory, top five at plus 120. You can't play him to win. I'll play him here. Ludvig, top 10 at plus 250. I'm doubling up Patrick Reed. I'll play him for a 10 as well at plus 600. Now, this Joaquin Niemann is the wild card of the week, Cam. He has been dominating on Live for the last year and a half. He never shows up at these majors that he's been invited to. Now he's invited again. They say that this is the best, the PGA would be the best one for him with his style of game. Well, let's see it. I'll nibble top 20 at plus 135. And Wyndham Clark, big hitter, usually big hitters. We've seen Wyndham Clark in big events before. I'm just going to go 20 with him, Cam, at plus 300.
I got to tell you, look at your bets. You're getting guys in top 20 to plus money that are like actually one of the best players in the world. That's the beautiful thing about having Rory and Scheffler there. We got more picks, Carver. We're going to pull each other's mind. I can't wait.
Hold yours off. And when we come back, Cam, we will get Cam's placements because we're doing a double with Cam today because it's a major week. And then we've got the first round leaders and even some props. And I think there's a lot of reading the same mail on the props as well this week. There seemed to be, and me and Cam did not confer with each other.
We didn't.
Before we said these in. We both can't send them to each other at the same time. Golf Wednesday, Coast to Coast, PGA Championship with Cam. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. It's a Golf Wednesday, PGA Championship, a major week. That means a little extra time with the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart. All right, Cam, we left off. I gave my placements. Now it's time to hear yours, your top fives, tens, 20s, 40s, etc.
Did I give you my winners? I'm not even sure. I think we're on the same stuff.
You gave us the winners. You gave us
the winners. Okay, here's the deal. Rory McIlroy hits it a mile. Whatever. You get plus 110 for a top five. Joaquin Niemann, all these golf hipsters love him this week. I don't mind a top 20 at plus 130. I'm hitting the top 40 market hard. And you guys got to listen to Carver. Max Homa, this guy is getting plus money for a top 40. Basically make the cut. Højgaard, Rasmus, this guy is playing great golf. This is a perfect course for him, plus 140. Hey, Carver, what's
up?
I saw you at that keg party. I'm the dean. I don't want to expel you. But you know what? At plus 160, you stay in school. Steven Yeager, top 40, plus 160. These markets this week, I'm telling you, Carver, and tell the people, like, these top 30 and 40 markets are unreal. We're getting great golfers at crazy plus money.
You really are, Cam, and I love it. And I love the Dean, too. And I'm finding some ways to maybe add the Dean to my card. I do have one that I'm going to show you in a moment. But let's go first-round leader hunting first, because me and you love first-round leader. How about the run that Killer Keith, Cashmere Keith, has been on? Is Keith Mitchell with these first-round leaders. It's been absolutely ridiculous. Like, he can't do it every week, Cam, but I feel like I have to at least put him on the card. So he's 60-1 for Keith Mitchell. Now, I'm going with the same strategy I used, Cam, with Scheffler a couple of weeks ago with the Byron Nelson. I'm not playing Rory to win, but maybe he'll start fast if he's going to win. So 14-1 for him for first round leader. Bryson as well. JT at 33-1. Mr. Burns. Sammy Burns at 75-1. You know who else loves Quail Hollow, Cam? Ricky Fowler loves Cam. Fowler loves Quail Hollow at 90-1 to start. And how about we take a little afternoon nap? Jake Knapp is a bomber. 110-1. Maybe he could start fast on Thursday.
Trust me, I need an afternoon nap. I've done four shows. They called me at Sportsnet Calgary at 6:30 a.m. Thanks, guys. Anyway, I work nights. First round leader. Let's do it with Bryson DeChambeau at 20-1. I love you, Carver. He's the guy. He can come out of the gate hot. I sent this to Keith Stewart, and he's like, is Morikawa hitting it for like 36-1? I'm like, but Keith, can't he be a first round leader? The way that this course is soaked, he needs to hit his irons. Ashke Batea, Carver knows this as well. This guy is always around the top in the first round. You know what? Mm-hmm. My best friend, and like, I love this guy, like Carver and Ciano. Foursome at the bar, me, you, Ciano, and Ryan Fox. Let's roll 120-1. I got Jager Bombs, and I got Cameron Young at 120-1. First round. He'll fade, but he'll
have that. How about that? Cam with a couple bombs there. Jager Bombs and Cameron Forever Young. We haven't had a Cameron Forever Young sighting on Golf Wednesday in a while. He's been in the witness protection program, Cameron Forever Young, lately. All right. Bonus props because it's a major. Here's a few that I have, and I'm not going to lie. I'm digging for more between now and tomorrow morning.
Me too.
The Dean. Here's the Dean. I do have him on the card. Top South African at plus 220. I've got Taylor Pendrith as the top Canadian at plus 320. And Tyrrell Hatton, top Englishman at plus 300, Cam. Three props for me.
Carver, we're like that movie, like Step Brothers. Like, we should be there because we got the same stuff. Let's roll. Props. Top limp player. Bryson DeChambeau, plus 210. The Dean. You know what? Keg parties every day, Dean. Plus 220. Tyrrell Hatton, top Englishman. I got a great price at plus 325. You're going to like this. Nygaard. Two Højgaards. A Nygaard Pedersen. I want R. Norgaard, meaning Rasmus. And know what I added, Carver? You're going to love this better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Table for one, Dick Land, top senior, plus 170 to beat Phil and Patrick Harrington.
Whoa, I like that. I got to look for a book in New York that has that. I will play that. If I checked a few.
He's on fire.
And I haven't seen him. He's a hell of a player, your boy Bland. So I'm going to try to get that in. Cam, let's have ourselves a really big week at Quail Hollow. I feel like this is going to be, we've had some great finishes to these majors the last few times out. I think we'll get another one this week. And let's just hope it's one, the right one. Maybe Justin Thomas, it looks like, would be the best
one. We're
going
to do it, Carver. We're going to win tons, and I'm going to come visit you, and we're going to party. Let's roll.
There he is. Cam Stewart, the Prime Minister. We're back coast to coast, the Golf Wednesday right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back on Coast to Coast, and Lindsay Castanelli, what a great name. I got to start with this. She's from Univision. She's been there over 16 years. She's a rock star on TV. And she's done TV everywhere, Los Angeles, New York, ESPN. She's done boxing. And she has literally stolen my heart already because of two reasons. One, she went to Miami. So I am a Caniac. I'm a Cane fan. I've been friends with the Canes for over 50 years. I had a place down there in Miami, and I have literally watched them win five national championships. I wear all their clothes everywhere I go. People want to punch me in the face. And then I lived in Huntington Beach. There's the U. I love you. Already I love you. And then I lived in Huntington Beach, and you went to Cal State Long Beach. And I used to be able to look out my window because I lived on the PCH right on in the Huntington Harbor. And I used to look up this, like right up the coast to Long Beach, and I could see Long Beach from my front of my house. And you finished your education there. So like, you're really smart. You go to Miami, you go to Cal State Long Beach, beautiful weather. I mean, look at you.
You see, I picked the right places. already. And you see, I've been in many, many places, but I haven't been in your show, so I'm so happy to join you today. Yes, I got my communication degree in Long Beach, and I got my master's in my business master's in UM recently. I just graduated. I don't know how I did it because it was very difficult. Coming from the communication part and doing a master's in business was a completely different ballgame, but finally I got the degree, so we got a lot to share, and I'm so happy to be in your show.
Hey, so let's talk about a lot of your, because you've interviewed through your career some of the great people, and I'm friends with a lot of them, and I've interviewed pretty much everyone that you've interviewed, and I became friends with a lot of them. I'm going to start with Miggy. So Miggy and I, in 2003, Miggy was a young player with the Marlins, and they went and won the World Series and beat the Yankees in Game 6 in the Bronx. And I was there for every single game. And I covered the Marlins back then because I was working at QAM in Miami. And I loved Miggy from the beginning of his career. How did you like interviewing Miguel Cabrera?
Well, I have to say that Miguel Cabrera was a big part of my career at the beginning because I got to meet him when I was covering the Yankees. He was playing for the Tigers at the moment. And I came up to him and said, hey, would you give me an interview? And he's like, no. And I'm like, really? Why not? You know, I need to interview him. He's like, no, I don't want to talk. I'm like, well, but you know, I'm from Venezuela like you are. And he's like, well, I don't want to talk today, but I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, I'll come back tomorrow and we're going to talk. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to do it here. I'm going to take you to eat arepas. You know, arepas is a Venezuelan food. And that's exactly what I did. I came back the next day and I say, well, Miguel, I'm here. Let's go eat arepas after the game. And he went with me and we did a great interview. And that was all before the Triple Crown that year. He won the Triple Crown. And of course, I said, I was your lucky charm. So you had to give me the first interview. And I came back to Detroit at the moment. I went back to Detroit after he won the Triple Crown. And he gave me one of the best interviews of my career so far because I was able to get him in his house with his family, with his mom, his kids, his wife. And it was a very personal interview in one of the best moments of sports. And that happened the first year that I was working with the network. So can you imagine where that interview took me? So yeah, it was really, really important for me. And still one of my friends, Miguel Cabrera.
Of course. I mean, that you skyrocketed from there. The other two that stood out to me are my friends, because I've covered boxing for 35 years. I have done every major championship prize fight over the last 35 years that you can name. And I'm good friends with Canelo and with Floyd. I don't go around bragging about Floyd, but I am buddies with Floyd. Floyd's done the show a million times over the years. He's quite a character, but I really got a kick out of Canelo Alvarez. For as enormous as he is in Mexico and all over the world and in the States, and how gigantic he is as a fighter and his illustrious career, he's really a cool guy and down to earth and fun to be around. It really blew my mind because most of them can be kind of standoffish and think they're, you know, Shaq doesn't stink.
Totally, totally agree. And one more thing about Canelo, he's a very loyal person. And you can see that with his team, the people that surround him, all his career. But I tell you also, what happened with Canelo and how I got closer to him through the years, right? During the pandemic, I just reached out to him through Instagram. And I was like, you know, I need to interview somebody for Contacto Deportivo. Why not Canelo? And I just, you know, sent him a message through Instagram. He replied to me and said, yes, of course, Lindsay. I'm like, I thought that you were not going to reply at all because, you know, I didn't went through the normal or the of going through PR and all that. And he's like, no, you know, the worst thing that you can do, Lindsay, is don't ask. you need to ask. And he teach me a lesson. He taught me a lesson at the moment, because sometimes we're so afraid to ask because we think the answer is no. And maybe the answer could be no now and yes tomorrow, like in it was with Miguel Cabrera. But with Saul, it was great. And from that day on, we kept like a really good relationship, a working relationship. I respect him a lot. He also respects me. He knows me since I started. So we kind of know each other. And we always had that kind of relationship where I could go further than just talking about boxing. No, I asked him about his family and how he thinks.
Right.
And I have learned a lot about him. And he has such a strong mindset. It's unbelievable. It's one of the athletes, him, Kobe, because I also had the opportunity to interview Kobe several times, cover Kobe Bryant for a whole year, and Derek Jeter, I could tell you, are the three athletes. I think they have a set of mind that are completely different, off the charts.
So let's talk about the World Cup coming to North America. And then I want to get your thoughts on that, how exciting that is. And who do you like in the Champions League final with PSG and Inter on the 31st in Germany?
Forza Inter! Of course! Casinelli, ¿dónde crees que lo agarré? ¿Dónde crees que lo agarré? ¿Dónde? El italiano tiene que salir. We also are friends with Pupi Zanetti, and we're so happy for the Inter. I think they did a great job stopping Barcelona. Barcelona was a great favorite to get to the final. They're playing beautiful, wonderful soccer, football, I should say.
I thought it was incredible. Barcelona kept coming in waves. But I was rooting for Inter. My buddy went to Madrid and saw him play this year with his wife. He said that was an experience of a lifetime. So I'm pulling for Inter. Who do you think wins, Inter or PSG? And who do you like in the World Cup? And how do you think it's going to go over in North America?
It's 50-50 Inter PSG, but I'm rooting for Inter, as you know. But Club World Cup, it will be a great event. It will be the best of the best of every continent. The different clubs are going to be here. The stars are going to be here. I can't wait to see Mbappé, one of the biggest stars in soccer right now. And I will say Real Madrid had to take this. Xavi Alonso will be the manager, hopefully, at the moment when they play the Club World Cup. And I think it will be great just to warm up for what's coming next year, which is the real World Cup. The National Teams World Cup, and it will be here in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. So soccer, it's taking over, my friend. Football is taking over.
And you'll be covering the World Cup, right?
I really hope so. It will be my fourth one. Yeah, I went to Brazil, to Russia, and to Qatar, so...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Love that Lindsay Casinelli. Very impressive, her career, and it was fun having her on Coast to Coast. Now we dive back into that nightcap game tonight at the Target in Minneapolis, unless I'm mistaken, right? We got the Dubs on the brink, Mike.
We do have the Dubs on the brink. Here's the second game of our NBA doubleheader this evening. Of course, after the Knicks and the Celtics, the Timberwolves will try to finish off the Warriors. Some big lumber here. 10.5 for the T-Wolves. 203.5 the total.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's too much meat on that bone to tell me they're going to just whack them tonight. I really don't see it. I think, you know, I think the Timberwolves are going to finish them off. I do. Do you really think there's going to be a blowout here tonight? Like, I've always thought the hardest game is that, you know, fourth win, and teams that are against it, that are desperate, that are trying to stay alive, Saturday Night Fever style, I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him. There's no way I think Butler and Heald play that badly. Again, they kind of, for me, like Heald to me is every other game, right? So I think he's due, and I think Butler has to be better. You know, he said he was sick. So what's he going to say tonight? He's sick again? He's got another illness? I doubt it. I think he's going to ball out. I think the T-Wolves win, but they don't cover that fat number. Now, did I say the same thing last night? I had the Thunder to win and Denver to cover the 10 spot. It's too many points, if you ask me, in a closeout game.
Way too many points. I'll take the 10.5. I don't think they win, but I think that they're going to be in the game. I mean, they're going to get completely blown out. I don't know. I think it's a 10-point game. I'll take a shot. I'll go with the Warriors tonight with the sticks and see if they can make it happen.
Maybe so we'll there you cover go. That's by your a hook.
It's possible. We could be right there. Could be right in the mix for it. All right. How about the baseball now? A few things from last night, and then we have a lot of games tonight to get through. By the way, Arizona up 6-2 on the Giants as they got a 3-run homer from Eugenio Suarez. They had a leadoff homer. They had a homer in the first from
Suarez.
Yes, they had a homer in the first from Ketel Marte as well. So 6-2, Arizona on top of San Francisco. Yankees and Mariners still scoreless as they have gotten underway too. Last night, Minnesota is up.
Did you say that? Yeah. Like their second game?
Yeah.
So
second game, Minnesota's already out ahead.
And they're up 4-1.
They are going for, of course, 10 in a row in the second game. Orioles do have the bases stacked here in the bottom of the third. We'll see if they can do anything with that. Last night, Mariners beat the Yankees 2-1 in 11 innings. They tied the game in the ninth. They lost it in the 11th. Another good performance from Brian Wu. He's the only pitcher in majors this year to go at least 6 innings in every outing. Pretty good for Brian Wu.
He
pitched well last night, too. Wild game in Detroit last night. Tigers beat the Red Sox 10-9 in 11 innings. How about the night for Javi Baez, who is all of a sudden, after being really awful his entire time in Detroit so far, he has come alive the last couple weeks. Not one, but 2 3-run homers for Baez last night, including the walk-off on FanDuel Sportsnet.
First one in the air, deep left field, again! Yes, Tigers win! Javi is unstoppable!
Javi Baez getting involved. What is happening?
Speaking of big flies, I just told you the Orioles had the bases loaded in the bottom of the third. They're now unloaded thanks to Cedric Mullins. That would be a grand slam.
The grand slam breakfast.
The grand slam breakfast for Cedric Mullins. 5-4 Orioles, bottom three. And now make it 6-4 Orioles. Kerstad hits one right after him. Balls are flying out.
Can we
get Gunnar Henderson for another one in that game? So there you go with that. Rays beat Toronto 11-9 last night. They had a ninth-inning grand slam from our boy Caminero, who put them ahead. Mets beat the Pirates 2-1 last night. Braves beat the Nats 5-2.
Cover.
The Cubs needed a ninth-inning rally.
Cover.
To get by the Marlins, Justin Turner on marquee.
Corner the winning run at first. Drive down the left side. Fair ball. That's head to the corner. Brujan is in. Here comes Nico. On his way to the plate. And the Cubs win it. Justin Turner the walk-off.
I've always thought that Turner could hit.
He can. Did you know he is now the oldest active player in Major League Baseball, Justin Turner. I had that note on the game last night. The oldest player in the league.
You wouldn't know it, right? He can still hit.
I guess unless the Royals call up Rich Hill, right? If the Royals ever call up Rich Hill,
which
they
will.
Yesterday, he's 45 years old. I got another walk-off for you last night. How about your boy, Fernando Tatis Jr.? Padres TV.
2-2. In the air to deep left center field. It's back. It is gone. Fernando walks it off. Deep into the San Diego night. Padres win it.
This guy announcing prior games, getting involved as well.
You gotta have it. And the A's beat up the Dodgers 11-1. Jacob Wilson had two homers.
22.
Oh, this Marte just got another one. Man, that's a bomb. 8-2 Diamondbacks. Jeez. two-homer game for Ketel Marte, the Marte parte going on in San Francisco right now.
It just flew right over your head, the plus 222 A's cover last night.
Good cover with the A's last night. I love how they hit five home runs, and I couldn't get the Butler or Rooker in any of those homers. They hit five homers, and neither guy puts one out. The Dodgers put Sasaki on the IL with a right shoulder
injury.
The town crier. Clayton Kershaw will return on Saturday against the Angels for the Dodgers. Corbin Carroll last night tied Judge and Schwarber with his 14th homer. The Rangers had to put Corey Seager back on the IL. He had a hamstring injury, just came off. Now he's going back. Guess they should have waited a little longer.
Another hammy sandwich.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's the Smiley Show PGA Championship Preview.
So we are building a lineup. We have a $50,000 salary, as you do on DraftKings Daily Fantasy. And we're going to go through now. So top of the price list, Scottie Scheffler at 13,400.
How are we going to do this? Are we going to...
What do we want to do? What do we want to do strategy-wise here?
Can you just tell me who you kind of like right now? Maybe mid-tier, low-tier, top-tier, and then can we just spitball this thing together.
Can we start with this? Like JT at 9,900, given some of the guys ahead of him, feels like a really good price for JT. You want to just my first pick, I'm gonna plug in JT.
I want you to scroll down for me.
Okay, all right.
I want you to go find Keith Mitchell.
Keith Mitchell. Okay, hold on. Let me. I got a good stat for you on Keith Mitchell, because
this thing ends Thursday, Keith Mitchell he has the Wanamaker Trophy in hand. His scoring average in first rounds this year is, I think, 66 or something like that. It's something silly. It's every week he's at the top of the leaderboard. He's in the last groups. That means something. It means something, I'm telling you. And this is a really, really good golf course for him.
Can I throw you something else at you? I was reading you some stats about lowest scoring average of Quail in the Wells Fargo Championship era. Keith has the fourth lowest scoring average at Quail. That full list, I said Rory was first.
Throw Xander Keith
second,
in our lineup.
Jason Day, Keith Mitchell, Max Homa are the five in the field this week who have the best scoring average at Quail. So
Keith can win this week.
Keith's price is $6,200.
That Keith can win this week.
I love that pick. All right. So you went with Keith at $6,200. That leaves us an average of $8,475 per player. So that's a nice bit of flexibility.
Do you mind if we continue to hop on the Shane Lowry bus?
Are you against that?
I know he's not the longest guy, but this dude keeps elevating his game week in and week out. And you need a solid dude that is going to be the rock of your lineup.
The only thing I wonder is $9,200 too much to spend on a Shane Lowry? Do we feel like that's about right for this week? Because I'm just looking at guys around him, like Tyrrell's at 9,000.
Russell. I mean, I like Shane more than Tyrrell this week.
Yeah.
I like Shane more than all of these guys. Yeah. I would say Minwoo is if you liked Minwoo more than Shane,
Spend on him, we're going to have to go down. We're going to have to kind of spend Sepp at 8,000, but he's coming off a win. All right, we've done this before. Let's put Shane in now. We have JT, we have Keith Mitchell, we have Shane. We have an average remaining salary of $8,233.
How expensive are Rory and Scotty?
Rory's $12,200.
And Scotty's?
$13,400.
Seems like that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. That's a
right
lot
now,
of money.
Right now, we basically have half of our roster at $24,700.
So it feels like Colin's too short for this week. I mean, no disrespect to Colin, but it feels like it's going
to
be tough.
Do we want to, it feels like you have to take one of Scotty, Rory, or Bryson.
Bryson at 11,500 kind of feels like, I mean, I would prefer Rory, but that saves you another $700. You want to plug the big man in there? Just give it a shot.
I mean, Bryson or Rory?
Bryson.
Oh.
You want to go Rory? Rory and JT, those are our two guys. Yeah, let's do Rory. Look, because we have two spots left at 6,200. So now let's just go down here and see if there's anyone we like around here before we have to change it up.
Okay, can I do a little scrolling here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Lucas Glover's got good history here, but I don't think he had a great week last week.
South Carolina guy.
Lucas is a player that I like so far.
JT Posel's a North Carolina guy. Oh, what about David Pooge? Come on.
Can you look up some history with Pooge? He hits it far enough.
What history?
Like, I don't know. Was he playing Andrew good Gall on live? To live.
I, apparently so, if he got a special invite to the PGA. Let's go David Pooge. I want to be on record. I have a feeling about David Pooge this week, and he has a 7:11 a.m. tee time on Thursday, and Jackson does not know it yet, but I'm going to wake him up at 5:45 a.m. so we can get to the golf course and watch David Pooge play golf on Thursday.
Man, this is tough. All right, so throw him. What about?
Let's throw the Pooge man in there.
Novak could be sneak.
Oh, I like Novak too.
That's sneak.
See, but now we're like now. Oh, so Lucas. All right. Okay. Let's look at that lineup. So we have Lucas Glover, Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, Keith Mitchell, Andrew Novak, Justin Thomas. That's kind of a good lineup. We like that?
Dude, I think you locked that in.
All right, let's lock that.
I mean to tell you, the gambling going on this network and on this PGA Championship is just out of control. With your boy Smiley and Charlie.
We're ready. PGA Championship. Let's go.